Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. It is Rob Oliver with you, and it is, again, my privilege to be in your ear and hopefully to be opening up your brain so that you are going to do some learning today. The smart person that we are learning from today is Melissa Del Toro Schaffner. She is an American voice actor and producer, narrator of the Untold Tales podcast, which is a short story sci-fi audio drama. She also is a mom after 40, which more power to you. congratulations on that. She is an international best-selling author, a creator, and illustrator of the Minority Girl Empowerment coloring book, Careers for Little Sisters. She is a former contestant on the nationally televised game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And the answer is, don't we all want to be a millionaire? And she was an electrical engineer and a project manager before she took the big leap into entrepreneurship. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. I'm so excited to talk to your audience today and to answer all of your brain probing questions.
Well, wonderful. Well, you know, this is the good thing, and that is I don't have to be smart. I just have to ask the questions that help the smart people to share the information. So that you're the smart person, and I'm along for the ride. So it's all wonderful.
Awesome.
I just want to go over a couple quick things. So the first question, obviously, is how did you do on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Well, if I told you, I wouldn't get all the views, right? But clearly, I'm still working for a living, right, in a creative field, which anybody who's listening knows that that takes some time to gear up on the earnings side. So I am not a millionaire, but it's very fun to watch the episode. It's the highs and lows of every feeling you could possibly have as a human.
Sure.
And it's on my YouTube channel. So you know, if people are interested
absolutely
in watching it, it's out there.
So were you on the Regis Philbin variety or the Meredith Vieira variety, or who was your host?
You know, that it's funny because I was on the Cedric variety, Cedric the Entertainer, and I think that he was on for just a hot second. I don't think he lasted very long. And, you know, little insight, my episode, they did some editing because he didn't say, is that your final answer? I think they have to always ask you that. And he didn't say that at the peak moment of my episode. He didn't ask that. So when the whole episode is over and when you watch it, you'll see what happened. The production team actually asked me to go back and to re-record that big moment. And that's when I knew that I can act.
Ah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just, you know, put those emotions aside and make it happen. So
very cool. So I don't know if there's any way to smoothly transition with this, but let's transition and talk about your entrepreneurial journey. So you decided to kind of, okay, I don't want to hurt your feelings with this, but
I'm tough.
An electrical engineer sounds like the absolute most boring job that I could ever experience. I'm sure that you've got your skill set, and it's what equipped you and interested you in being an electrical engineer. But what made you decide that you're going to move from engineering into being your own boss and the whole entrepreneurship experience?
Well, very big question, but so that I don't bore you with all the entertaining details, I went into electrical engineering because I wanted to finish what my father had started, actually, because he did not become an engineer, even though he had that degree, because he wanted to stay with my mom and he didn't want to move around and, you know, move us around. A lot of times engineers have to move around the country with jobs, and he wanted to give our family a really stable a stable footing in Pittsburgh, which I know we both have in common.
Beautiful.
Where I was born and raised. Yeah. Born and raised. And so, you know, when you grow up with a father that's an engineer and a mother that's a teacher and you want to make some money, you go into the one that makes money, which is clearly not teaching in our country.
That's so funny.
It's so sad, but anyway, most important job, least amount of money. But I've always been a very, very creative person. I just didn't see how I could make money doing anything creative, you know, especially in the 90s. They ask you what you want to do when you grow up, engineer. I spent a long time acting in my corporate career because it wasn't a good fit for me. Like you said, it is quite a boring job. And it's not, I just don't express myself that way. I'm a more creative person, a very loquacious, you know, I talk a lot kind of person. And the corporate environment in engineering is very problem solving, very serious. They don't really value sort of that clown nature in people. My coworkers did, but my bosses didn't. And so I had my Jerry Maguire moment when I was living in New York City. I had had a number of engineering jobs. I worked at JFK International Airport. I worked at a electrical contractor as an estimator. And finally, I'm working in a mechanical and electrical plumbing consulting firm in Manhattan, doing big projects, you know, installing electrical in the high rises in the city. And one day I had to book a vacation to come here to Arizona, where I currently live, to see my father because he was dying. He had Parkinson's.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because it has brought me to where I am. And I'm so grateful for that, that breakthrough, that sort of catharsis in my life.
Sure.
I know my dad would be proud. I think he knows that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing now. But yeah, I had my Jerry Maguire moment where my senior engineer basically told me that nobody in the office liked me. I always dropped the ball in my jobs and all this kind of stuff that I was like, where is this coming from? And then I was like, is this my life? I mean, am I going to be defined by other people's thoughts of me for the rest of my life? Because I was killing it. I was producing, like, you know, one project every 2 weeks kind of thing. Like, I was killing the deadlines. I was doing Toastmasters on the side. I was doing everything. And then I wanted to start a family. I'm like, how am I going to start a family? You know, I'm 40 years old. When is it going to be? When do I have space not to be, you know, bossed around by somebody else in my career? And that's when I took the leap. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I quit that day and took the goldfish.
Right.
And yeah.
And never looked back. Yeah. Mm-mm. That's okay. And let me just, first of all, I want to establish something very clearly for anyone who is on here who might be an electrical engineer or an accountant or have a job like that. Your job is extremely important, and you have a skill set that I don't, and you have a personality and an interest that I don't have. And so very clearly, I am not passing a value judgment on the fact that—
Thank God for you. Thank God for you, because if without you, we would not have, you know, all these great technologies and homes, well, buildings.
I'm sitting here with, you know, high-speed internet and the lighting and the whole setup for my studio. And you guys are the ones that make this happen. So thank you for being you. Thank you for doing your job so well. And there is no value judgment associated with the fact that I could never do what you do as an engineer or an accountant or any type of those more analytical type things. So, all right. So you leave and you're going forward and you have no, you're not really sure where you're going from here.
Yeah. So, no idea.
So what is it that inspires you and says, okay, you know what, this is the ring that I chase, or this is where I'm going. Was it push or pull? And I guess what I mean by that is, did you do a self-assessment to say, okay, these are what my skills are and I will use these skills to move forward? Or was it something caught your attention and you said, okay, this is where I want to go and I'm going to use my skills to get there? Is that a fair question?
That is such a fair question. And I know anybody who's sitting in a corporate job that feels like, boy, it would be really nice just to be my own boss. There's no right way to do it. Sometimes people have an idea for an invention and they have an in with somebody. Sometimes they have an idea for a course they want to offer online. Some people do it on the side. Some people just jump right in. I will tell you that in my experience, most likely the first, second, third thing that you do is not really going to work. I mean, to create like your empire,
right.
You know, it will happen. But I think that the most important part about starting an entrepreneurial journey is just starting, because then you set the intention and all of a sudden you see things online, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Google ads that say, hey, I would like to learn about that. You get on a free webinar, you learn a little more, you learn some people's names on LinkedIn that are doing it, you talk to them. And I decided that project management was my strongest and highest dollar commanding skill set when I left engineering. So that's what I did. I started offering project management services to online business owners because I thought this is something they can use and it's something I know how to do. And it worked great until I had my baby.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, all right. So project management, believe it or not, is actually near and dear to my heart because one of the places that I've had a chance to speak here in Pittsburgh is actually for PMI, Project Managers
Nice.
Institute. And I went once and they enjoyed it enough that they asked me to come back, which was, about as a speaker, it's about the highest compliment you can get. So yeah. Go Project Managers.
Yes.
You rock. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So now once you have your baby and you decide project management might not be the exact way that I need to go with this because it doesn't fit with my lifestyle, then what do you do?
Yeah. So, anybody who's listening knows, sometimes the best laid plans, they go out the window. I didn't know that after you have a baby, I didn't know that there would be this mental fog that you can't break through. Like I was losing huge chunks of hair and my body's just been shattered in various places I didn't even know I had. And then on top of that, you have this mental fog that you can't even bring a thought to completion. So you can imagine as a project manager, I felt my whole identity was shattered. And with that came some depression, some self-worth issues. I can't do this. And plus, I started my business for my daughter. So my clients asking me to sit in front of the computer for 8 hours a day, it was like being in corporate again. So I was actually recreating the life that I didn't want, that I had left. And I thought, well, how stupid is that?
Right.
To recreate what I know, which is what I didn't want.
Right.
So my situation's a little unique because at the time we moved from New York City, where I was in that big, good paying job, to Arizona for my father to meet and have a relationship with my 1-year-old daughter at the time. And he died 9 months later. And then for 1 year after that, I literally, not only did I have the mental fog of motherhood and breastfeeding and all that stuff, but then I was just grieving and I didn't even know it.
Wow.
Okay.
So I have to admit, I was nodding my head as though I understood exactly what you were talking about. And then I realized, I've obviously never given birth and I've never been a mom and I've never had my body, go through what you went through. But at the same time, there is that understanding that sometimes things come along and circumstances change and you all of a sudden find yourself in a place where you really have to reassess, who am I? What are my strengths? What is it that gives me value? And then how do I use my value and my strengths to make a positive impact in the world and to leave a legacy? For me, I had a spinal cord injury when I was 21. So I'm in a wheelchair and at 21, I've got to assess, what are my strengths? What are my abilities? What is it that gives me value? And how do I utilize all of those to make a positive impact in the world and to form a family and to sustain and, leave a legacy as a family. So that's you and I are definitely on the same page there.
Yes.
So as you're doing this, you're kind of having to adapt on the fly. And what is it then that gives you the impetus to think about this coloring book that you came up with? Like, what is that something that your daughter was doing coloring books and you were like, these are all, I'm not going to say stupid, but these are all pointless. There's nothing, like you color them and then that's it. You're going to do something to create a coloring book with purpose. Am I reading too much into that, or how does that sound to you?
No, it's great. The chronology, the timeline's very important in my particular story because the coloring book came before the idea was born before my daughter was even a tiny little seed. It was born because I was in this job and I was really thinking about youth empowerment at the time. And then it was before all of this stuff, you know, like with the racial equality. It was before that because I've been a woman in a male-dominated industry since college, since the vintage 90s. And I was talking to my mother on the phone and I said, you know, there's nothing out there that teaches girls what they can do when they grow up. Like, you know, I was 17 and they say, what do you want to do when you grow up? Well, I don't know, whatever mom or dad does. And I thought that's not fair because there's a lot of industries that are male dominated that women would like to be a part of, but just have no role models. So my goal was to take regular people I saw like on the subway of New York City and draw them into a book that had different occupations like scientist and movie director, which we hardly have any minority movie directors, you know, television host, scientist and video game designer. Yeah. Right. And actually my daughter wants to be a video game designer because of that little tiny seed that was born before she was. And it's like crazy because she's actually designed like 3 video games now with the software they have out now for kids.
Cool.
Like what happened? That's so cool.
Right. Okay.
You know?
So let me just say that you are so spot on with this. Part of the reason why I started this podcast was about empowering minority entrepreneurs. Okay. For me, as a person with a disability, when I was going out trying to find employment, I couldn't get hired anywhere. And I think I'm reasonably intelligent. I'm fairly articulate. I graduated, you know, I've got a master's degree in psychology with a 3.4 GPA. Like I'm there, I'm qualified, but I go for the interview, I think I present well, and then nothing. And then I go and I interview in like disability service industries, and all of a sudden they love me and they're like, we want to bring you in. The problem is that they're all nonprofits, and so your earning potential is fairly limited and it's capped. So the only way for me to truly be in charge of my own earning potential and my own, you know, abilities as an employee was to turn to entrepreneurship and to empower myself to say, I can't look for other people to create the opportunities for me. I've got to create them for myself. And so that's what's kind of my hope was to inspire other people with disabilities to say, maybe I can be an entrepreneur. And what you were saying is maybe you can inspire other women, other girls to say, maybe I can jump into an industry that's not typically looked at as a female industry. Is that accurate in what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't see somebody like yourself doing what you want to do, then be the first one. You know, I got to where I was in engineering because of all the great men that supported me. There weren't very many women, and you know, nobody wanted to be my lab partner because, you know, I don't want to be the girl's lab partner.
Right.
But you know, if that's what I was seeking to do, is to encourage people, encourage women, encourage girls and young boys, because I believe that sometimes boys think that they have to do certain kind of careers or they can't do certain things because of, you know, who they are or how they present. And I feel that that's just a really wasted opportunity in life. Like, you should be able to do whatever it is that you feel. And that's very, what do they call it? Not naive is not the right word, but optimistic. Mm-hmm. Because.
Yeah, it's, I mean, in some ways it sounds like it could be Pollyanna-ish, where it's just it's a little bit, you know, simplistic and a little bit, you know, juvenile in the way like, well, you can do anything you want. But at the same time, I think it's important to empower people to say, what are your skill sets? What are the things that you're good at? What are your interests, and how do you find the point where your skill sets match your interest to do a job that you are good at and that you enjoy? I'll just mention real quick, one of the chapters in my second book was it's about, I think I called her Sandy, and she's a person with a developmental disability, and she wanted to be a social worker or like an activity director. And I talked to her brother, and her brother's like, she doesn't have the cognitive ability to go to college and to get a degree as a social worker. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. What does a social worker do to her? You know, the social worker is helping her line up activities and helping her to plan outings and to do involved in what's going on in her life. Okay. Can she be involved in that functional level of planning out fun activities, planning out things that are going on in her life and in the life of the people that are around her so that she doesn't necessarily need a degree to do this, but she's able to do what she sees as the functional elements of it. So in that way, people, sometimes we have kind of constructs that we force people into, and we need to break those and allow opportunities for people to pursue their interests, to pursue their abilities, and to, you know, I think the quote is that you don't leave footsteps to follow if you're in with the crowd, right? Yes. The only people that leave footsteps are the ones that are walking their own path, their own way. And that is an opportunity for others to follow. What's your reaction to that?
You know, walking your own path is very difficult. That's why I'm so passionate about empowerment, because when you walk your own path, it's full of rocks and it's full of sharp things, and you bleed a lot and you cry a lot, and you know, you don't know where to go and how to go, and people reject you a lot. And you know, walking the path of what you want to do is not for the faint of heart. So that's why when you see people empowering other people like you and I do, it's because we know how hard it gets and how nasty people can be, especially the people closest to you. When they see you getting some level of success, sometimes that becomes the barrier, not finding the people in your tribe and your work, but actually just moving past what your family and friends have, you know, the construct they've built of you. And it's like, no, I'm actually not that person that you put me in that box. And some people get pretty upset about it.
Okay. You and I are so much on the same page. It's fantastic. Since I mentioned my second book already, the cover of the book. So the first book was called Still Walking. The second book is called Still Falling. Still Walking has, you know, the footprints in the sand of someone walking down the beach and leaving footprints that way. Still Falling actually has footprints in the snow. And the reason I chose that is because wintertime, it's very dangerous, right? And when you're walking in the snow, which you wouldn't know about being in Arizona, and you don't have to rub that in. But
I was born and raised in a blizzard.
Okay.
It's Pittsburgh.
Yes.
So, I know about snow.
Right. So, but you know, when you're walking in the snow, a lot of the dangers and a lot of the things to watch out for are covered, and you don't readily see them. So you've got to be careful as you go through that. Additionally, you end up with ice, which makes it that much more difficult to move forward. And with all of the hidden obstacles and all of the ice, it gives you a real possibility of falling down. And if you fall down in the snow and stay there, you run the risk of hypothermia and frostbite and all of those things, and it can be fatal. And so what you're looking at is hidden dangers and obstacles that exist. And the reality, it is more likely that you're going to fall in the winter than it is in the summer. And it's more dangerous that when you fall in the winter, there's a lot of bad things that can happen. And so you've got to be aware. And at the same time, I think people like you that are coming along to say, you may fall down, but I'm encouraging you that when you fall, like, let me come alongside and help you get back up and keep traveling down the path. That's what I see as kind of the empowerment message. Talk to me about what is your definition of empowerment? And maybe in addition to that, who do you think needs to be empowered?
That's a very deep, a very deep question. I feel like I need a vodka to answer that. What does empowerment mean to me? Empowerment means to me that you can make your own choices in life, and you can always rely on yourself. Not necessarily, you know, everybody needs help. Every business owner, every person needs help. But what I'm saying is that when push comes to shove, you can bet on yourself. You know that you can rely on yourself, that you're going to, you know, send out those emails, that you're going to make whatever calls you need to make, that you're going to, you know, sacrifice that time or find that childcare. You're going to make it happen. You know, some people, and I did a lot, struggle with self-worth. And there's no self-worth issues when you're becoming the hero of your own story. There's no self-worth because how far down can you go? To the bottom, and you've been there. So there's nothing to be afraid of, and there's everything to be courageous of. And, you know, you can only be as good as you think you are. And a lot of people are successful just because they think that they're pretty awesome, you know?
Right.
So.
Okay. And I think that you are pretty awesome. And I think, I think that part of it is having a real understanding of your strengths. And so many times we are more focused on our deficits than we are on our abilities. And when we do that, we miss out, because all of us are, from my perspective, all of us are created with innate abilities and gifts, and the importance of using those to make an impact is so important. And I will also tell you that sometimes I ask questions and they're not fair questions, because I ask the question because I want to be able to answer it too. When you're talking about who needs to be empowered, to me, empowerment is it's giving a voice to the voiceless. It's giving strength to the weak. And so anyone who is feeling oppressed, repressed, less than, worthless, and by worthless, I don't mean feeling of zero value, but it's feeling worth less than other people. When you're in that place, those are the people to be empowered to say, no, I'm not going to accept societal restraints. I'm not going to accept the value statements that others place on me. I'm not going to accept the labels. I'm going to stand for my abilities. I'm going to understand I do have limitations, but I am also going to say that there are 7 billion people in the world, and every single one of them brings a unique perspective and a unique set of talents and can teach us all something and can help the world be a better place by contributing what they have. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I believe even strong people need to be empowered sometimes. I don't think that it's like I'm sitting here and, you know, I'm sitting here so strong and I am like, oh, lift you up. Because guess what? About 90% of the time, I need somebody to tell me something nice. Even Oprah needs to be lifted up. Even, you know, people who are looked to as leaders often need somebody in the background that's saying, you can do it. Everybody's scared to death most of the time,
right.
Especially when you're talking to a big audience. So, I mean, everybody needs empowerment at some point. And just because you feel weak and hopeless, the good news is that feelings are just that. They're information, they're feelings, how you feel. And you can change how you feel at any given moment. And you can actually feel something that's not actually happening. And then, you know, they say that whenever you start to behave in a certain way, it just becomes the way that you are. If you're not happy, you know what? Find something in your life that actually makes you happy and be happy now. Why wait? And then all of a sudden things start to move around and opportunities come as like, wow, I actually am happy now. And that's how it happened for me. I was trying to work on being happy while I was in my unhappy state. And whenever I realized I'm okay how I am right now, like I'm good enough right now, and I was happy, that's when the opportunity started coming and I started attracting happiness. So it's funny how that works.
Yeah, it is amazing. And yet it's so true that when the way that we think has such a drastic impact on the way that our world, the world around us operates, and the way that people see us. It's wonderful. I've got about a million other questions that I would love to ask you about voice acting and about all of that stuff, but we have completely and totally run out of time. I just want to go back and I want to highlight one other thing that you said. And that is, you said that when it comes to entrepreneurship, that the time that you don't need to wait, the time to start is now. And I think that's such an important message, whether you're taking a leap like you did and walking away from a job, whether you are like me and you got laid off and you have no choice but to move forward with that, or if it's like, let's start a side hustle with a goal towards growing it into my own business that I can get out of that corporate experience, all of it together, the time to start is now. That is such a powerful message, and thank you for sharing that. Listen, if people are looking to get a hold of you and find out more about you and what's going on with you, where can they find you? What's the best way?
Well, I'm all over the social media scape. So if you Googled my name, you'd probably find me. But you can go most directly to my website at www.melissadeltoro.com. You'll find the name of my spelling probably in the episode show notes.
Yep.
And in there, there's an empowerment audio. So if you're feeling like you really need a best friend to whisper in your ear that you can do it, there's an audio in there that would be good for that. Or you can learn about the podcast that Rob was talking about, Untold Tales. There's a link on the main page there to listen to it. Or if you want to get in touch with me or listen to my voiceover stuff, then you can find me there too.
Wonderful. I will put the link to that website, to your social media. I'll put all of that in the show notes. Where can people get a hold of the coloring book?
So the coloring book is available on Amazon.com. I actually have it in Spanish and in English. So in English, it's called Careers for Little Sisters. If you Google that term and Melissa Del Toro Schaffner, you should find it fine. The Spanish book is called Profesiones para Nuestras Niñas. So it has a completely different title with Enyas in it.
Right.
But again, with my name, you should be able to find it.
But yeah, and I'll actually put links to both versions down in the show notes if people are looking to get a hold of that, because I think that empowering young girls to think outside the box, and I think as well, you had mentioned empowering young men and boys to think outside the box as well about what do you want to be when you grow up. Boys don't have to be baseball players and girls don't have to be,
ballerinas.
Yes. Perfect. All right. Melissa, you have been fantastic. It is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
Oh, okay. I think.
What was your first job?
Wow, nobody's asked me that ever, I don't think. My very first job, I guess, was babysitting and house sitting. That would have been my very first. But my very first paycheck, I worked at a pharmacy when I was 15 years old, selling cigarettes and lottery tickets.
So you are a vice peddler of some sort, where you are, encouraging other people to do things that probably aren't real good for them. But what is your daughter's accomplishment that you are most proud of?
Wow, she's such a talented person. She's such a good friend. She's such a good coworker. I want to cry now. She's five and she's awesome. I would say my most proud moment is whenever she was three and she was trying to play Roblox and she couldn't hold her fingers to move the character. And she was so frustrated and she was three.
Right.
And she learned how to play a video game on my phone. She taught herself, and shortly after, she's five now, she started reading at four because she wanted to know what they were saying in the chat. So she actually taught herself how to read because she wanted to know what they were saying in the chat.
Wow.
I'm very proud of her.
As well you should be. She sounds like an amazing young lady, and I can only imagine that with your encouragement, and she is going to be doing great things in her life. Okay, last question for you. Cupcakes. When you're eating a cupcake, what is the prescribed proper method of cupcake eating? Is it like one bite at a time? Do you do the sandwich method of cupcake eating where you break it in half and put the icing in the middle? Or do you try and eat the whole thing at once? Or is there another way to eat cupcakes?
I love this question, and I am going to steal it from you for icebreakers. Well, I would say, as the engineer in me says, what kind of cupcake? Because if it's one with a big muffin top, you have to eat it a little bit differently than if it's one that they didn't fill the cup enough and it just sort of like rose just to the top of the little paper.
So this would be a chocolate cupcake with buttercream frosting that is not overflowing from the wrapper, but just comes right up to the top of the wrapper.
Oh, see, now you make it easy to answer. So first, like for me, I peel the paper off of one side. And because I don't like to make a mess and get it all over my nose, I would just peel the paper off one side and take a bite. If it's really good, then it's gone in the next bite, no matter how big it is. And if it's not the best cupcake I've ever had, then I will peel off the side in three. So one, two, three. So the one, peel off one side, bite, peel off the next side, bite, and then peel off all the paper, pop it in your mouth. There's your answer.
An excellent answer. Okay. It's kind of like there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's. There's no wrong way to eat a cupcake. So thank you for being willing to share. Melissa Del Toro Schaffner, you have been a breath of fresh air, and thank you so much for being here. Much luck to you as you move forward. I will happily put all of your contact information in our show notes. To my listeners, thank you for being here. This has been anytime that we can talk about empowerment, anytime that we can talk about getting people to do things that they may not have thought that they were capable of, I'm all in favor. So I hope you've enjoyed this. I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.